You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. Find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks. Also at Locked On Brewers, our two Twitter handles. Also, Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers is the Facebook show page. So check us out there as well. Adam Rigg of the Brewer Nation will join us. I've had him on a few times in the past. Always a good conversation. We're going to do a hodgepodge of a conversation today because there's a lot to talk about in and around baseball and around the COVID-19 stoppage. What's he doing with his free time now that it's not taken up by Brewers baseball? You know, same question could go for me. And the answers may surprise you. So we'll talk about that and get into it a little bit in a few minutes. And then also, we dove into the conversation that I was having on yesterday's podcast. And that was the greatest game in Brewer history. And I think I've narrowed it down a little, even beyond the five games. I'm gonna narrow it down to four, and I'm going to put a poll question up. So I'm going to kick out one of the five that I talked about. I'm probably going to... Well, I was trying to think of which one I should exclude. It's actually kind of hard. But I think because of importance, I'm going to exclude the Easter Sunday game in 87. Because it was just an early season, regular season game. And though it's a great memory, and everybody loves to reminisce about the 13-game win streak to open the 87 season, and the you know culmination, the key moment in that streak being the come-from-behind win over the Rangers on Easter Sunday at County Stadium, as the greatest moment during that run to open the season, it just was the start of the season. The Brewers later lost 12 in a row. They were team streak, of course, that season. Paul Molitor has 39-game hit streak. It's one of the most entertaining Brewer seasons in franchise history, but they missed the playoffs. They were in contention, but they missed the playoffs. And so it's, you know, that was early in the season, not as important as the other games that were on the list. The 82 game five of the 82 ALCS, game five of the 2011 NLDS, and then the Cubs win at Wrigley. Yeah. Beat the Cubs to clinch the division. And of course, the 2008 is what I was forgetting. 2008 game to clinch the playoff spot. For the first time in 26 years. So I'm going to do a poll question on that. So look for that and vote. And be exciting. So check it out there. And it'll be a good time. At Lockdown Brewers and at Cheesehead Talks, you can find the poll question on those two spots. I might throw it up on Facebook too, even though it's a different poll question. I'll have to combine the results, do a little math. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, so look for him there. And Adam Rigg and I will discuss. You ask him what his favorite all-time or greatest all-time Brewer game is for him, and I'll look forward to that. I did see some responses on the Twitter feed today after the podcast and saw a clip of the a free shot from Barry on the game-winning throw to first for that ALCS championship to send the Brewers to the World Series in 82. It's a nice freeze frame, you know? It seemed darker. Like they didn't light the County Stadium as well as the lights are well today. Maybe they didn't have LED lights back then, so it wasn't as bright. I'm just saying. I feel that way about Lambeau Field too. Like back in the rare times they had night games there back in the 80s, it was kind of dim. That's a complete neither here nor there, but what the heck, you know? Everything's frozen right now, so just throwing it out there. Anyway, we will have Adam Rigg next. He'll join us. Our conversation on the way. You're Locked On Brewers. If you're like a lot of people, and you probably are because you're like a lot of people and there's lots of people, you hate stepping on the scale. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right scale. company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and exceptional user-friendly design. Step on, and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android and Wi-Fi for Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But with Withings Body Plus, they give you the full body weight, body composition, weight trend, and even local weather report, which is unrelated to weight if you ask me, but go figure. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So you can get 25% off with Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com. Withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. Adam Rigg is the founder or the guy who runs Brewer Nation. He's just a monster on Twitter. Monster. Has all these thousands of followers at Brewer Nation. Go check it out on Twitter. And he's, I don't know how much he has to tweet about these days, but he's still finding a way to tweet. And he joins us here on Lockdown Brewers. How you doing, Adam? Good to talk to you again.
Yeah. Hi, Ben.
it's rough times.
It is.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
not much. I mean, my kids were home last week with virtual learning. This was their spring break week on the calendar, so this week has been, you know, pretty much low key. But the fact that we were supposed to be in South Carolina and open the day was supposed to be this week, it's just it's brutal. It's not something that's fun. Not something that I was eagerly anticipating. A lack of baseball, you know, before the end of March.
All right. So I ask you this: what is the what's the number one thing that you found to do in the wake of no baseball?
Personally, I'm still working, so that takes up a lot of my time. I have an annual project, not to get into too much detail, that goes heavy until the end of March. So normally that first week of April opening day has been perfect for me. You know, take the day off kind of as a reward to myself. You know, go to the game if it's at home, that whole thing. Always attend the home opener. But no, this year it's been a lot of board games with the kids, a lot of streaming, a lot of show binging, a little bit of arts and crafts. We'll take the dog for longer walks, so she's happy. You know, just filling our time however we can.
Yeah, I'm seeing people everywhere walking their dogs, which is kind of nice, right? But the neighborhood's, at least where I live, full of dog walkers. So anyway, people are fine. I mean, there's not a lot of other activities to do because you can't hang out with people. So you just, you know, hang out with your family and walk the dog, and you try and stay away from everybody else. It's really unprecedented times, that's for sure. So
yeah, we've got a neighbor, new neighbor moving in on April 1st, and we expect to knock on his door, maybe run down the end of his driveway before he answers the door and wave. Like, we're not sure how we're going to do it yet, but
no offense.
Exactly. Little ding dong ditch, you know, that's run away funny. From him. Hey, that was us. Sorry. Happy.
Nice to meet you. Shake your hand someday. Yeah. It's a little crazy. So what were your impressions of the Brewers spring training to the point where it came to a halt? Were you encouraged? Were you kind of meh? What were you thinking?
I mean, it's one of those things. As we've talked about over the winter, you know, I'm always cautiously optimistic, glass half full kind of a guy. And I liked a lot of what they did as far as the roster moves went and trying to piece together guys that complement each other and complement the other players already on the roster. They kind of build around the core offensively, of course, that's Yelich and Hira and Kane. Try to get more production at catcher, you know, try to fill in some of those gaps of places that they were losing, especially at the plate offensively. I liked getting back guys healthy. Bobby Wall had looked good, well, had read good anyway in box scores and what I was able to hear.
Yeah.
And Corey Knebel, that he was on track for a May return after everything, that looked good. He was, you know, being healthy. So there was definitely a lot of encouragement, a lot of positive things that were coming out of Arizona every day. And it just, I mean, I can't help but be positive when baseball first starts up every year. It's always one of those hope springs eternal. Even if you're the Orioles fans, right? You gotta feel like, well, at least we're back to baseball, even though we're going to lose 100 times.
Yeah.
At least we're going to win 50, maybe, probably. So
yeah,
there's always that aspect of it. But no, I mean, specifically, it was a really overall encouraging, I think, few weeks and hopefully it manifests itself if and when these guys get back to an actual semblance of a regular season.
Have you given thought, Adam, to what a shortened regular season will look like for the Brewers? In other words, I've surmised on this show that because of the way they manage their team, obviously with the starters only going maybe to the fifth or through the fifth on average, and all the use in the bullpen, and now especially this year, all the different combinations that Craig Counsell can use, it's going to be really fascinating once we do play to watch how he manages a game, particularly from the sixth inning on in a tight ball game this year. It's going to be really fascinating. I've surmised, and maybe again this is glass half full thinking, that advantage Brewers in that situation over maybe other teams, because you don't have to worry about, at least worry as much about burning guys out if you're only playing 100, 120 game schedule. That might be what we're looking at here. Yeah, have you thought about that at all?
To a degree. There was a big article on The Athletic, I think it came out yesterday. Jason Stark and Ken Rosenthal collaborated on it about what a reduced regular season might look like, or even a modified one with possible World Series in December. Yeah. You know, all these different iterations. It really got me to thinking, like, they try to squeeze in 162 somehow, even 140, and they're doing with double headers and maybe seven inning double headers, and maybe they're, you know, taking less off days and doing this whole thing to try to get as much baseball played as possible. Part of that, I think, would negate some of the Brewers' advantage, unless I think, did they say it was 1995 was the year that they had the late start to the season because of the strike, I think it was.
Yep.
So they had bigger rosters to help with the ramp up of players and not having to worry about pitching guys on back-to-back days, out of the chute, that kind of a thing. I mean, that's what they do with Josh Hader anyway, for example. So maybe that's something Council's a little bit used to, having a plan. So there are certainly things I think the Brewers capitalize on, especially if they're given a bigger roster to play with. And that just plays right into Council's hands. We've seen their last two Septembers, what he's been able to do when he's had all the toys at his disposal and all the buttons he can push.
Yeah, I think that's the one key, that if they try and cram it in and the Brewers have a lot of stretches where they're playing 20 days in a row. I mean, I'm sure that the rules would still be such that you can't, can't play more than 20 days in a row. That's what the union's always said. And but if they do that a lot, I mean, last year, if I remember correctly, 18 in a row was the most that the Brewers did, and that was only once. They had a lot of more, off days, and which has been the trend with baseball the last few years here, which is why we start so early, i.e. tomorrow is supposed to be opening day, or the 26th as we record this is supposed to be opening day. So anyway, I just think that's interesting, and if they do cram it, then I am nervous if that's the case. If they decide just, it's June or July, we're only going to play 100 games, we're not going to try and play 140, we're just going to get this in and go from there, then I think they have an advantage. But I don't even think baseball knows what they're going to do yet, because how could you? You don't know when it's going to happen.
Right, and then there's all the concern about, do we try to just pick the schedule up where it already was? Do we, reschedule things? Do we try to focus on the division? Yeah, all that stuff needs to be taken into consideration. And I'm sure there's, smart people that get paid to do that kind of thing working on it. But, yeah, it's really, like you said, it's going to be fascinating to see how it all comes together, what they're able to accomplish. And, their backs could be pretty far against the wall, depending on how late the country kind of wakes up from this hibernation and gets back to doing, business as usual. And if that means, does the season get to start sooner if players are tested as healthy from, the coronavirus, and then they just play the first several games? So even if it's a few weeks with no fans in the stands, and then the fans get to have like a post All-Star break opening day for themselves. Like, how's it all going to work? So yeah, it's very, it's like you said, it's uncharted waters, unprecedented type of situation that we find ourselves in here, where it's just, you're unable to do any of that right now for good reasons, of course, but you're just unable to, and nobody knows how to deal with it at this point, because again, in 95 you knew this season was starting late with the strike, so guys didn't ramp up like they were this year, and just all of a sudden they had to cut themselves off. So it's intriguing, and it could even bleed over into next year. You've got guys, World Baseball Classic, participants,
right?
Maybe if everything is virus free next winter, how soon will those guys ramp up? And if it's a super late postseason or even a super late regular season in 2020, How will that affect participation for that? Will that get pushed back? There's just so much. The spidering of these issues, it goes really deep. And yeah, it's just sports, but as many people have said over these last couple of weeks, sports really are a release for a lot of the general populace, and that's how we compartmentalize and help deal with things, is to have those things that we can kind of lose ourselves in.
I might as well just admit this to you right now, and anyone listening, because I mean, I really have no shame. I have, unfortunately, and I blame my wife because it is her fault. We're watching Grey's Anatomy over from like the early, way back when. I never watched it past, I don't know, year three or four. But this is like when I was in college. This is how long ago. I mean, that show's been on forever.
It really has.
And I'm watching it and thinking, this show is kind of dumb, but I'm watching it. Anyway,
I like myself a good medical drama. I watched The Resident. I watched The Good Doctor. I used to watch House, but okay. I never got into Grey's. And it's the ER. I was never, and granted, that was when I was a kid, when ER was a thing, but I was never into ER back then. So,
well, ER was definitely a more serious show. It was a better show. It was more serious. I think more realistic, as realistic as a medical drama can get. Probably. I'm guessing. You don't at me. Anyway, we're talking with Adam Rick. Find him at the Brewer Nation. He runs the Brewer Nation. All kinds of good info and a great Twitter follow if you're not. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you are. Because, come on. It's the Brewers. But anyway, let's do this. To wrap up here, I did a podcast yesterday on the greatest game in Brewer history. Now, I narrowed it down to 5 games. And I know I'm dropping this on you off the cuff here. But what would you say if you had to pick one game as your greatest game in franchise history?
Oh, man.
I know, right? Dropping it on you. I love it. I didn't even want to warn you.
This makes, at least not live on the radio, because this makes for dead air. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple ways you can look at it. Current generational fans, younger fans, and I was only 2 years old for the 82 postseason run. I think those younger fans, and they're going to look to possibly the Nigel Morgan tickle it up the middle base hit, just the true emotion of advancing in the postseason for the first time in God knows how long.
Yeah,
was a huge moment. Obviously, reaching the World Series for the first time as the Milwaukee Brewers in 82 was probably the right answer. But clinching the playoffs in 2008 was a huge moment, just finally making it back to the postseason after 26 years. I don't know, man.
I know, it's tough, isn't it? Because it's compared to some franchises, you don't have a lot to choose from. I narrowed it down to 5 on the podcast yesterday. So I'll name, and you named just a few of them right there. So it's good to know that I wasn't too far off. It was game 5 in the 82 and ALCS with Cecil Cooper's go-ahead, base hit, and the Brewers clinched their World Series. A great, probably the best moment at County Stadium. I mean, there were a lot of good moments, but best Brewer moment at County Stadium anyway. Robin Yount's 3,000th hit comes to mind as well. But anyway, that one. And then I'll go in chronological order. The only regular season game where the Brewers didn't make a playoff appearance, I chose the Easter Sunday game in 87, because it's just it's taken on such a legendary feel in Milwaukee, right, as a great moment in Brewer history. And then I went with the 2008 clincher. And then 2011, Nigel Morgan. And I chose as well the win at Wrigley to clinch the division in 2018, just because it was so special to beat your rival, down at Wrigley Field.
Game 163.
Game 163, exactly. And that's, I guess, technically a regular season game too, but I just I chose that. And all that, I'm going to go, and I didn't even say this on the podcast yesterday, but just thinking about it, Adam, I'm going to go, if you said you have to choose, Ben, I'm going to go with the 2011 Game 5. I know that the right answer, like you said, and that's a good way to put it, is probably the 82 World Series clincher, but one, I was only 3. Two, I think the 2011 game had so much drama where it came down to the walk-off scenario, and you'd blown the lead. Axford had come in and given up a run, blown the lead in the ninth, and so that was crazy, and everybody's so nervous about it. And then, so you're on pins and needles, and Nigel Morgan scores Carlos Gomez, and the place goes crazy, and it's a walk-off to win it. So just the drama, I will go with that game.
Yeah, no, and that's why I mentioned it for sure. All that, the fact that they're up in the series, they go to Arizona, and you just feel it slipping away, and then like it actually blows the game, and we're all just like, no, this cannot be happening. Like, I was in the stands for that one. It's just...
Oh, you, were you there? Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I was there. I was there in 2008 for one of the playoff games, but I was there the whole series, the whole postseason situation in 2011. It was tremendous. And, yeah, just the stadium, the buzz, the just deflation with the blown save. It was absolutely euphoric the way that place erupted to advance in the playoffs. I mean, in 08, it was nice to make the playoffs. You know, you lose right away to the eventual – they lost to the Phillies, right?
World Series champs, that's right, yep.
So it was nice to be there, and it was great to get back to the playoffs after 26 years. But to actually advance and then to have a real feeling of, okay, maybe we can do this. It was a special moment for sure.
It was. Yeah, no question about it. So anyway, there's some great ones to choose from, and a lot of good honorable mention games as well that I think Brewer fans know about. So it's that's the fun of having this team, and hopefully some more memories to be made. Unlike last year, you'll probably do this topic later here in the coming weeks, because it's just a long time till we're going to play baseball. But the most crushing defeats in Brewer history, some of these seasons had those same defeats, coming later. And of course, the last game the Brewers played officially would probably count in there, right, as far as one of the most crushing defeats. So that's a little teaser.
Yeah.
Not that you want to be teased about that, but that's a little teaser.
And can I just say, I wonder if that game takes on a slightly less hurtful feeling if the Nationals didn't go on to win the World Series. Like, we had them beat, and they're the ones that end up winning the whole darn thing.
No, I think so.
Maybe if they lose to the Dodgers, maybe it doesn't feel so bad if they get taken out themselves.
No, I would agree with you, and I also think I wouldn't even count it as – I wouldn't even put it in the top handful of my most painful Brewer losses, just because I didn't expect the Brewers to go very far in the postseason. Again, I know they can. I know it's a crapshoot. I know anything can happen. But I just think, yes, the Nationals had to come from behind, but they also had, Scherzer and Strasburg, and they had a hell of a team, and they were really good from May on last year. So, it's...
No question.
Yeah.
I would think, as far as postseason exits, 2011 is probably...
Yeah, that one hurts. Ugh.
Yeah.
Cardinals!
And the fact that they seemed to have that series won, and it just felt like the 82 World Series all over again in a way.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, that's... That would probably be the most painful, because they were definitely the better team in 82, or so I'm told. Anyway.
Fingers was healthy, man. That's what you
always
hear. Fingers just would have been healthy.
Baseball gods owe us one, I feel like, right?
At some point.
Someday. Thanks, Adam. It was great to talk to you. We'll catch up soon.
All right, Ben. Take care.
And again, you're probably following Adam Rigg, but if you're not, at Brewer Nation, go check it out, at Brewer Nation on Twitter. He's got a ton of followers. He tweets every day. Got a lot of good Brewers info. It's both current, and then he goes back to historical stuff, too, and he's always talking about whose birthday it is. It's just a good follow if you're a Brewer fan on Twitter, and he's got a lot of Brewer fans following him. So join the club and follow Adam Rigg at Brewer Nation. Great conversation there. Like I said, we'll have the poll question go to our Twitter feeds, my personal one at She Said Talks or at Lockdown Brewers or Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. And we'll have the show poll for you, the greatest game in Brewer history. I got four choices. Of course, you can write something in. You can disagree, whatever the case. That makes it better. And we'll continue the discussion, because it's worth discussing this. It's a hard choice. I really think it is a hard choice. 82 ALCS Game 5, 2011 Game 5 NLDS, 2008 playoff clincher with CC going the distance and Braun hitting the home run, and then the stealing the hearts of Chicago. I mean, there's nothing better than that. Going to Wrigley Field, Game 163, the jokes against the Cubs last forever. It's outstanding. So a lot of good choices there, and I want to know which one you think is the greatest game in Brewer history. Or if you do have another one, you have another opinion, write it in. Send a message. We'll talk about it all on the air, on the, I guess we're not on the air, on the podcast coming up. Again, my thanks to Adam Rigg. Really appreciate him taking the time to talk to us here on Locked On Brewers. You can always find us, of course, on Twitter, like I just mentioned, at Cheesehead Talks, my personal handle, at Lockdown Brewers, the show handle, or Facebook.com/Lockdown Brewers. Tell a friend about Lockdown Brewers. Spread the word if people are jonesing for some baseball talk, some Brewer talk, and they're a little bummed because today is supposed to be opening day, for crying out loud. But it's not going to be. It's not going to be for a long time. Tell them about Lockdown Brewers, and maybe they can have a little aid in their empty void of no Brewers baseball. So we'll talk to you soon. We'll deliver your Brewers fix like we always do. Also, check out Lockdown Fantasy Baseball on the Lockdown Podcast Network. Good fantasy baseball information there, too. Until we meet again for your Brewers fix, I'm Ben Larson, and this is Lockdown Brewers on the Lockdown Podcast Network.